Now, seeking the Lord's leading, let us turn back to that chapter which we read, Isaiah chapter 60. And you'll find our text this morning at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 60 and at verse 8. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Twice this question is asked in the Word of God. Who are these? Once it's in the book of the Revelation. Who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Revelation 7:13. And the other occasion is here in this text. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Twice this question is asked. Who are these? And the answer in each case is exactly the same. The people of God in all ages. One, the revelation is a view of them landed safe in heaven. And the other is a view of them in the exercise of their soul here upon earth. Who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the people spoken of here in our text are the very same people, the identical people, not yet landed, not yet safely landed, but in the exercise of their souls. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? And the analogy is this, that the sky is darkened as a dark cloud by the number of doves that fill it. They're coming from every quarter. They're coming from every place. But they're all centering upon one spot. They're flying to their windows. Now, by these windows, we understand the holes in the sides of the rock. When danger threatens, then the side of the face of the rock. Now this is the analogy. And the prophet Isaiah here by faith, he looks right down the vista of time and sees that the church of God in all ages, people of different nationalities, people of different upbringing and experience and background, living at various times and different conditions, but he sees them, and as he sees them in the different places from whence they come, he sees that they are all converging on one spot. Every one of them, they all fly in one direction, all coming to one place, and that is to a crucified Jesus. So the doctrine of the text is this, that there is one point that has marked the people of God right down the ages from Adam's day to this and to the end of time, and that is that they all make their refuge in Jesus. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows. Now, I want to speak first of all of the windows and then of the doves and then of their flight. The windows, the doves, and their flight. And the great point about their windows is that they are left in the cleft of the rock. See, that precious character of the Lord Jesus as the Rock of Ages. It speaks of his immutability. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It speaks of his glorious almighty strength. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And this is where the doves find their resting place, where they make their refuge. These windows in the face of the rock. Now this is important. I want to emphasize this if I can. It's in the clefts of the rock that the doves find a resting place, a hiding place, and nowhere else. Remember, there's not a redundant word, there's not a redundant expression in Scripture. The clefts of the rock. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Song of Songs 2:14. It's in the clefts of the rock, and there only, that the doves can find shelter. Where there is a rock and the face of it is so sheer and smooth that there isn't a single crack, that there isn't a single crevice, a single cleft, then there's no hiding place for a dove. It may be majestic in its beauty and grandeur, that rock, that sheer face with no clefts. But it means nothing to the poor dove that seeks shelter from the enemy or from the storm. There's one thing the dove wants when danger threatens. To find these windows, these clefts in the side of the rock. Some crack, some crevice. And that's the emphasis. It's in the clefts of the rock that the dove finds its refuge. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Now, what is it doctrinally, experimentally? Well, this. You can view the glorious person of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God from all eternity. You can see him as the second person in the indivisible Godhead, one with the Father, one with the Holy Ghost, and you can wonder. But there's no hope for a sinner here, no hiding place for a dove, for there's no cleft in the rock. Martin Luther said, "Let me see God in my nature." So, that's what faith does. Faith goes to Calvary. And faith sees at Calvary a cleft rock. It's in the sufferings. It's in the sin-atoning death of the dear Redeemer, the work of the dear Son of God, that the weary soul finds refuge. And it's there alone. It's in the cleft of the rock. Now these are the windows. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. This is the blessed hiding place. This is faith's refuge from the wrath of God against sin. This is the sinner's hope for eternity. This is the place where all the people of God by faith have been led, every one of them. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? So, there's this sacred revelation of the glorious rock, and that a cleft rock, and these windows, the dove's hiding place. Now, what of the dove? Well, friend, if your religion is real, you will be brought to fly to Christ. Now, people sometimes ask, what is saving faith? People sometimes say, what is it really to believe in the Son of God? What does that mean? And of course, there are many answers, and you may have heard many answers. But this is one thing. Faith is a fleeing to Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives some sense of sin and some sense of the impending danger of the wrath of God against the sinner. And then the sinner by faith is led to flee from the wrath to come, to flee like the dove to its windows, to flee to the merits of Jesus alone. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? This is the mark of the people of God. They that have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Oh, friends, the welcome for sinners in Christ. Their refuge. Their only refuge. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Now, friends, has this point come into your experience that you have felt your danger? Has that been your experience? Your danger through the wrath of God against sin. Your danger through a broken law. Your danger as it concerns the judgment day. And have you heard that voice declaring, flee from the wrath to come? Have you heard that in your soul? Like Lot in the city of Sodom, the city was given over to destruction. There was no hope, no refuge in Sodom, where Lot lingered. But the angel said, flee to the mountain, look ye not back. And there was the commandment. And we read that there was something else. We read that the angel laid his hand upon Lot. And if you remember, it was the angel who brought him out of the city. Now the gospel declares, flee from the wrath to come. And grace is that hand that God puts forth to bring you out of the world. He gives you no rest until you flee to the mountain. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Where are you building your nest, friends? Arise ye and depart. This is not your rest. It is polluted. Where are you building your nest? Samuel Rutherford says this, something like this. Build not your nest anywhere here below, for God has given the whole forest to death. He builds too low, who builds beneath the skies. Then where are you building your nest? We all build our nest in some place or other. The world builds its nest. Religious man builds his nest. The people of God build their nest. Now, where are you building your nest? He builds too low who builds beneath the skies. Friend, if you are building in anything short of the cleft of the rock, the precious merits of Jesus, then you are building too low. Or you'll have to fly as the doves to their windows to build in Christ, to find a refuge in Him and in His merits alone. And these are vital things. For God has given the whole forest over to death, and the storms of divine wrath, the storms of divine wrath daily draw near. Oh, to have a nest built in the cleft of the rock. Jeremiah 48:28. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. You see, the poor wee dove has been blessed with divine wisdom to know that these clefts in the rock are safe. They're impregnable. And despite all the poor dove's weakness, no danger can threaten her there. And the heirs of bliss are blessed with divine wisdom to leave everything here below, however good, to leave it here below and make their nests in the clefts of the rock. Krumacher says, before Satan can swallow a child of God, he must first swallow the rock in which that child of God hides. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? You remember how Noah sent forth a raven and a dove out of the ark. And we're told that the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot until she returned to the ark, and Noah reached forth his hand and pulled her in. Now, when the Lord begins his solemn saving work in the new birth, he puts a sinner forth in the way of a gracious exercise. And perhaps that's you, friend. Perhaps that's you. You recognize yourself. You can find no rest for the sole of your foot. The waters of the flood cover it all. The things you once rested in with delight, you can rest there no longer. The pleasures of this world, your idols, your sins, are a form of godliness. Can't rest in that either. The good opinion other people have of you, taking things for granted. No, you find there is no resting place, and you find no rest for the sole of your foot. Then can you never find a rest? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and it is in the cleft of the rock. And it is there alone. It's in the merits of a crucified Jesus. And that's the rest that remaineth for the people of God. And you'll find no rest until, just like Noah's dove, you return and the Lord stretches out his almighty loving arm and pulls you in. There's a sweet pool, you know, in the gospel. Oh, yes. Friend, you know anything of that? Anything of the pool of grace? Draw me. Then you can enter into the cleft of the rock. Draw me. We will run after thee. And here the dear Saviour of sinners declares to these, to you who can find no rest for the sole of your foot, the Saviour declares, come unto me, all that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Now, friends, it's not just at the beginning of your spiritual life. But as long as you live here below, there will be many, many occasions when you are flying like the doves to their windows. Times when you feel guilt on your conscience. Times when you maybe lack some sweet assurance. Times when you feel something of the wrath of God. Times of trouble, perplexity, adversity, dismay. And what can the poor dove do? Fly again to the cleft of the rock. Enter into its windows. There is safety. There is security, peace, and rest there. And there alone. And this is the mark of the saints of God in all ages. In Psalm 71, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Poor David was once overwhelmed with trouble. Everything seemed to be going wrong. Everything was too much for him, too hard for him. And he said in Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Now, that was a wrong exercise with David, and I believe he realized it. Because if you read that psalm carefully, Psalm 55, what emphasis he places here. And I said. It was I that said it. My old nature. And are there not many of you also? Many of you who can say, and I have said. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, to be far away from it all. To be far away from everything. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Child of God, the Lord will never give you the wings of a dove to fly away from your troubles. He will give you the wings of a dove in your troubles to fly to Jesus' wounded side, to fly to the Savior, to the cleft of the rock, and find a resting place, a hiding place there, but never to fly away from your troubles. The Lord will give you eagle's wings to rise above your troubles, but he will never give you wings to fly away from them. David was under a wrong exercise here, and he said, then would I fly away and be at rest. Do you really think, child of God, if you fly away from your troubles, if you leave them all behind, fly to some lonely place by yourself, that then you would be at rest? It's like that woman who couldn't get on with the church. She couldn't get on with the minister. She could get on with no one. So she went all round the different places. But in the end, she came back. And they said to her, "What happened?" "Well," she said, "I could get away from all of you, but I couldn't get away from myself." Oh, for the wings of a dove to fly to Christ, for eagle's wings at times to be borne up, not to bear up, but to be borne up. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? The Lord once made this remarkable promise to his people in Psalm 68, verse 13. "Though ye have lion among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold." It's one of these remarkable contrasts of the Word of God. Lying amongst the pots, amongst all the rubbish, all the dirt and dust, and then ascending on high in beauty and glory with the wings of a dove. Now, the Lord has a most blessed ability to make this difference, this great exchange. Don't forget, his first miracle was to change water into wine. And he still changes things into other things. He has promised to change sorrow into joy. He once said he would give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And what is it here? "Though ye have lion among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold." Are there any of you here this morning lying among the pots? Everything seems dark and dead. Everything seems wrong. And you say, "Well, I can't be one of these doves. I'm not ascending on high. I'm not rising above either my troubles or my sins. They're still there. I am lying among the pots of the earth, earthy." The poor dove's wings are tarnished with all the dirt and refuse among the pots. And that's where a child of God is often found. But that's not going to be the end of your religion. No. Some of you feel maybe that you haven't been anywhere else but among the pots. And you have this concern about your soul and about eternity. And yet days pass and then weeks pass. And you still lie among the pots. And one communion season passes and another communion season passes. And you still lie among the pots. Or others may be flying high, but there's been something that has brought you right down. Oh, how weak we are. You might have been flying high, enjoying Jesus' presence, Jesus' love. And then you're ensnared in some sin and you come down among the pots. Some unexpected tidings, some disappointment comes. Something you hear, something that tries you, that perplexes you. And down you come, lying among the pots, and neither can you rise above them. And this is a precious promise to the poor dove, with her wings tarnished and perhaps wounded, lying among the pots. "The day shall come when you shall be as the wings of a dove, ascending on high, rising above the pots." Rising above them. Above your sins, above your sorrows. Flying for refuge to the cleft rock, to the merits of Jesus. And then to find all sin gone, all put away in the atonement. to be clothed in the Redeemer's precious righteousness, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. He gives beauty for ashes. Oh, the blessed exchange, the liberty the Lord alone can give, the difference he can bring, and often in a moment. Oh, the blessed exchange, rising above the pots and soaring on high. Though ye have lion among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? And the great point that I see in this comparison of a child of God to a dove is this: helplessness, weakness. Now, I know people bring forth all manner of comparisons, but to me, this is the point: weakness and helplessness. We can't do anything. Danger threatens, and we're so helpless. There's a storm, and you're so helpless. Friends, the great thing with the dove is this: its weakness and its strength. And I'll explain. It has no claws to fight with. It has no teeth to tear its enemies in pieces. It has no means at all of attack. And there's only one thing it can do when danger threatens, when enemies assail, and that is to flee, to fly to its windows. Now, its weakness is its strength, because inside these windows it is safe and nothing can touch it there. Child of God, your weakness is your strength. When you are weak, then you are strong. Oh, beware of thinking that you can manage things, that you can deal with things, you can get on well. You'll never be stronger than when you feel so weak, so helpless, and so unworthy that you have to turn away from it all and flee from all your guilt, all your helplessness, to a precious Jesus. Then you are safe, and there you are secure. So, behold the dove's weakness, and behold the dove's strength, and in it see your own. How weak, and yet how strong, as by faith in all your troubles, your sorrows, your perplexities, your sins, you flee for refuge to Jesus. Then you are safe. And you couldn't be safer. Nothing can touch you there. Nothing can assail you there. Nothing can destroy you. And this is the lesson that the heirs of bliss have to learn, that all their safety, all their salvation is in Christ and there alone. So you have to flee for refuge. You have to flee to Jesus continually. You have to flee by prayer. You have to flee day by day and hour by hour. You have to flee with your spiritual and with your providential concerns. And you can't flee too often. You can't flee in vain. And oh, it's a loving welcome that awaits the poor dove within the clefts of the rock. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? And I just want to finish by mentioning one of them. Godly Hezekiah. There was a vast army. Those cruel Assyrians completely surrounding Jerusalem. It seemed certain death, certain destruction, not only to King Hezekiah, but to all the people of God. But who is this that flies as the dove to its window? It is Hezekiah going before the Lord and telling him in sweet simplicity, telling him his case, his own weakness, the strength of his enemies, the awful threatenings surrounding him, the blasphemy of Sennacherib and his men. And he fled to Jesus, and there he was safe. There was nothing he could do, there was nothing he needed to do. Next day, around the walls of Jerusalem, there were 185,000 dead bodies. Now, that's the blessedness. That's the safety. That's the security of those who fly as the doves to their windows. The Lord their helper. The Lord their defense. The Lord their safety. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word, and we thank Thee for the promises contained therein. We thank Thee for these blessed comparisons Thou hast laid before us. O Lord, let us not only understand them, but let us partake of them. Draw us unto Jesus, even now. Draw us away from trusting in anything short of Christ, and may each one of us be enabled to say, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now let us turn in conclusion to read in order to sing from Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and at reading from verse 9.